All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest, the Giants Director of Amateur Scouting. He's in charge of the pre-draft process and the draft as well, which is coming up in a few weeks here in July, Michael Holmes. Michael, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry, for having me.
So the draft moves from June to July this year. Obviously, you guys can be on the road. So many different things compared to the 2020 draft. What has this whole pre-draft process been like for you and the amateur scouting department?
It's definitely been something new to us with, obviously, the date being pushed back. Just kind of the mechanics of how things play out, the schedules, the calendar. It's actually given us an opportunity to see more of some players, which is probably a good thing for us, considering some of our summer coverages that we're used to were altered due to the pandemic last year. So it's just been a little bit of a different of way it's played out from a timeline standpoint, but it's been great. Our scouts have done a great job of getting out and seeing these players, the high school players, the junior college, the college guys. We're busy preparing for the draft, and other than that, it's really pretty much business as usual the way we prepare for the draft. And as we get closer, it's just more exciting for our guys because that's what we work all year for.
It's a really interesting process to me, and specifically the mechanics of going about seeing players, talking about your draft picks with different scouts. How many players do you like to see? How many places do you travel to in this pre-draft process?
We travel pretty much everywhere. I worked for so long as a national cross-checker, and I probably saw more players than I do now as the director, because I'm trying to get back and see players multiple times at this, at this juncture of the year, trying to get multiple looks. It's a group effort. We've got guys from the area scout level all the way up to the national level that are boots on the ground, guys out there working hard. Scouring the country, looking for the best next San Francisco Giant player. And our guys do an extremely good job of the way they go about it. And I just feel fortunate to be with such a great group, such a great organization. And these guys have one goal in mind, and that's just to find Major League Baseball players that can play in Oracle Park.
Well, no one travels more than scouts, and specifically amateur scouts, scouring the country for hidden gems and guys who can make a difference in an organization. How many guys do you have on the road at a time, and how frequent is the communication? Are you in touch with your scouts every single day, or is it something where, you check in every few days?
Our scouts that are at the supervisor level, the regional supervisor level, they're constantly daily talking with the area scouts that they supervise. I'm in constant contact with our national guys, our regional guys. I do my best to touch base with our area scouts as much as possible, especially if I'm in their area. I'm with them or talking with them. So, listen, I'm a big believer in communication. I think it kind of helps the process develop and go better. So I'm always on our guys is communicating. We stay in touch. We let each other know where we're at, kind of what we're seeing, and it kind of really helps the process go well.
Talking with Giants Amateur Scouting Director Michael Holmes here on Talkin' Baseball. And Michael, you've had a long relationship with Farhan Zaidi dating back to your time in the A's organization. And now you've worked with Scott Harris for the second consecutive year. Just how beneficial is it to have that kind of a relationship with Farhan when you're going through this process and when you're picking players who are going to be the future of the organization, to have that trust and loyalty and longstanding communication?
I think it's really important. I mean, to be honest with you, you use the word trust, and I think that is what kind of makes our relationship unique. I trust him so much, and I believe he trusts me. So our constant communication come draft and amateur scouting related is always kind of built off that trust. So my relationship with him goes way back. I think Giants fans are understanding kind of how good he is at what he does, and something that I've known for a really long time. Obviously, bringing Scott over has been a huge asset to our organization as well, and getting to learn to kind of work with him and kind of learn each other through his first, year or so here. But it's one of those things that we have a trust within each other. We understand kind of each other a little bit. That kind of helps our communication, our conversations. Our discussions go a lot better, and it's been really good so far.
I think that the casual sports fan can look at the draft process in the NFL and the NBA and has a little bit better insight and a window into the sport because they're big TV events, whereas baseball, the draft is kind of gaining in popularity, but it's not quite there yet. What does the room look like on draft day? Who's involved in the decision-making process? Who's leading the discussions? And how involved do Farhan and Scott get with your decisions?
Yeah, I don't think the draft room per se is a whole lot different from what you see in the other sports. We will have all of our cross-checkers, our special assistants, some folks from player development, our research and development analytics department, as well as our front office. And ultimately, we just spend a lot of time breaking down the players, talking about strengths and weaknesses, and just really trying to line a board up of best talent. You know, it's an ongoing process. It's not something that starts a week before or even 2 weeks before. It's almost a 365-day-a-year approach for us. You know, we're fortunate in our amateur scouting department that our front office takes a lot of interest in the amateur draft. It's something that I think is vitally important to our organization and the future of our organization. So it's not something that they poke their head in. You know, for a handful of days leading up, these guys are really entrenched and they're invested in amateur scouting year round. So it's a yearly process that really ramps up to the casual fan, you know, as we get closer to the draft. But these discussions that we have are really something that are ongoing throughout the entire year.
Well, I want to keep the focus on the 2021 draft, but I just think it's important to touch on the unique circumstances we saw in 2020. Only five rounds of the draft. You guys obviously didn't have the same, you know, level of detail on certain players just because you couldn't necessarily see them in person as much leading up to the 2020 draft. Only five rounds. But looking back on that process, you know, what did you take away from it and how much pride do you have on the way that things kind of shook out for you guys?
Yeah, you know, Kerry, it was a unique process being five rounds. Obviously, our scouting year came to a screeching halt after the fourth week of the Division I college season. And then there were some high school players out there that we never really got a chance to see because their season hadn't started yet. What I take, you know, a lot of pride in from a staff and from an organization perspective is our guys worked extremely hard the entire summer of 2019, the entire fall of 2019, to see these players, to get to know these players on a personal level. So although the season was cut short, I really felt comfortable with where we were in our evaluations and where we were on how well we knew the players, their families, their backgrounds, because our guys had put the work in, and our staff deserves a lot of credit for that. You know, jokingly, a lot of people think the draft's over and these guys go on vacation, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, literally, we have guys at events working on the next year's draft the day after this year's draft will conclude. So I talk about it being an yearly process. It really is. The preparation, the work these guys put in the summer and the fall and leading up to the season really put us in a good spot. We feel really good about the draft class that we were able to assemble in 2020. Not a huge fan of the five-round draft. Obviously, as scouts, we'd like to take and draft as many players as we can. But under the circumstances, I thought it went extremely well, and our guys deserve all the credit.
Giants amateur scouting director Michael Holmes joining us here on Talking Baseball. At the major league level, Farhan Zaidi, Gabe Kapler talk about having players who control the strike zone, pitchers who throw strikes and hitters who swing at strikes and lay off balls. How much does that philosophy kind of leak into the pre-draft process and influence the type of players that you look for coming out of high school and college, Michael?
Yeah, listen, I think any philosophy within organizations only is good if it's kind of preached from the top down. So it is definitely something that intrigues us on the amateur level when we're looking at young hitters. I like guys that can control the zone. I like guys with high contact rates. Obviously, those are guys that we like to develop, guys that Gabe likes to put in the lineup and Farhan likes to acquire. So ideally, from the organization perspective, I don't really think it changes with the amateur department. It is something that we're attracted to with the hitters. We like guys that get on base, control the zone, have high contact skills. But listen, I like to tell our scouts, too, that I don't want to cookie cut what they should like. I want them to have the ability to go out and tell me what attracts them to a player, what interests them about a player. It's the only way we can kind of start discussion and debate about players, and there may be guys that are not as strong in that area that we still like and want to be in play in with the draft based on kind of some other things they can do on the field. To answer your question directly, it's definitely something we talk about. It's definitely something that we kind of piques our interest when we look at players. And I think if you take a look at a lot of the players we've put into the system in the past few years, they kind of line up with that philosophy.
One more for you here, Michael. I know that every draft class is different. Some are stronger with college talent. Some have better high school players coming out. Some are pitcher heavy. Some are better with position players. What stands out to you generally as you're evaluating this 2021 draft class?
You know, I think the strength of this 21 draft class is really the depth. There seems to be quite a bit of depth. I know it's easy for a lot of people to get caught up into the first round. And listen, I do as well because, I know how important that is in the first round for an organization. But I think this year's class, there's a lot of depth, not only at the high school level, but at the college level. I think there's a lot of arms out there that are available in this draft at the high school level, at the college level. And I think what, if you asked anyone on our staff, they would tell you that there's players that we like throughout this draft, maybe more some than other teams. But we feel really strong with where the depth is and feel like that we're going to be able to assemble a really strong class again.
I think that's music to every Giants fan's ear. So, Michael Holmes, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time today.
Hey, Kerry, thanks so much for your time and interest, okay?
All right, a lot more coming up on Talking Baseball. You're listening to KBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.